VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And welcome to Crosstalk on VCY America. Folks, another must-listen-to program today. Last week, we had a very fascinating interview with Gary Kah on the topic of COVID-19, a global conditioning. We talked about the media fanning the flames of hysteria. We spoke of New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, who said crisis forces change. We spoke of the efforts to destabilize our nation, which would impact this November's election. We spoke about some on the World Health Organization, Event 201, Bill and Melinda Gates. Gary informed us about the UN Secretary General working along with the Pope to advance a globalist agenda. We also spoke of the push toward a cashless society and the central banks of many countries preparing for a switchover. Gary touched on ID 2020, digital ID, and vaccinations and the quantum dot tattoo. And if you miss this broadcast from April 15th, ladies and gentlemen, it is really foundational to our program today, and we suggest you take opportunity to listen to the podcast of this program at crosstalkamerica.com or to call for information about obtaining a CD from our switchboard here at VCY America. But there's more to discuss. Plus, we want to have some time on the phones today as we discuss the topic of globalism lying at the door. Gary Kah is back with us today. He is founder and director of Hope for the World. He's the former Europe and Middle East trade specialist for the Indiana state government. It was back in 1987 that Gary was invited to join the World Constitution Parliament Association. That's one of the organizations involved at the forefront of promoting the world government agenda. And during the next 4 years, he obtained detailed documents that demonstrated that the push toward a one-world government was active and rapidly advancing. Gary is the author of En Route to Global Occupation and The New World Religion. Gary, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
Hi, Jan. It's so good to be with you.
Gary, it appears as if daily there are more and more things that are unfolding, happening as to propel globalism. That's why we're calling it today's program, Globalism Lying at the Door. But I'd like you to begin just by making a comment of this television special that aired this past Saturday night. It was entitled One World Together at Home. Donations were being raised for a fund that would support the World Health Organization's work around the world, the Vaccine Development Alliance, Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness Innovations, and also UNICEF. This Together at Home effort will also aid over 100 additional local and regional charities, they said. But they indicated some $127 million was pledged. This was a World Health Organization, Gary, at work. And according to reports, this was aired on all the NBC networks, ABC, Viacom, CBS networks, the CW, and iHeart Media channels. One could not miss the superimposed words on the screen all throughout this event with the words on the screen, Gary, global citizen. Your comment.
Well, the term global citizen, you know, it's been around for quite a few years now, and there was a concerted push that began in the 1990s, I'd say, with Robert Mueller, who was a key figure at the UN, not Robert Mueller from the FBI, but another Robert Mueller, originally from France. And he became a spokesperson on behalf of global citizenship. Up in Canada, he spoke at a convention where they began indoctrinating the children in elementary school already to think of themselves as global citizens rather than Canadian citizens. And so this agenda, it's been moving along for some time. And most people who've kids who've been in public schools for any length of time probably by now would be familiar with that term. And so the powers that be are just wanting to take it to the next level. They see an opportunity here through this corona pandemic to use it as a way to try to unify the world. But we have to ask ourselves what comes with that unification. Mm. You know, that's the big question. And we're moving rapidly technologically to a point where everything is being centralized and digitized and where people are going to be tracked. I mean, literally their every move. And the World Health Organization is playing a big role in all of that through their vaccination programs that are going to be used really as a platform to try to implement this sister agenda, I'll call it. It's all working together. You have the same players involved. In fact, I just found out this week, I would have mentioned it on last week's program if I knew, but this I didn't realize until this week, that back in 2010, Bill Gates committed $10 billion to the World Health Organization.
Mm.
And, of course, he's been at the forefront of the digital ID and merging that together with upcoming vaccinations. And so when you begin to look at who the main players are and the alliances, they're pretty much all globalists. But I do want to say this. My intent in saying these things is not to prevent legitimate health care from taking place mm-hmm. around the world or anything that helps solve the COVID-19 crisis. That's not my intention. But I am leery whenever the World Health Organization heads something up just because of their track record.
Yeah.
And of course, in the last week or so, President Trump pulled all of our funding from the World Health Organization, which he should have done. Because the top two leaders, Tedros Ghebreyesus, who's the head of the World Health Organization, and also the second in command, who actually worked for the Chinese government in a very high, a key health position with an agency of that government. These are the top two people in control of the World Health Organization, and Ghebreyesus was an Ethiopian socialist revolutionary who for many years has been very close to China. So, you know, how can we really support an organization run by people like that? And so it's kind of ironic, you know, the same week that President Trump cut off U.S. taxpayer funding to the World Health Organization, we see this big global unity event being mm-hmm. televised all around the world and raising, you know, over $100 million. So there's definitely a conflict of agendas that are taking place, for sure.
Yeah, they showed this list of sponsors at the end, and I saw names like Apple, Bloomberg, Philanthropy, Cisco, Citi, IBM, Pepsi, Johnson & Johnson, Procter & Gamble, it's P&G, Emerson Collective, the Rockefeller Foundation, Verizon, Target, Stadler Family Foundation, and Tenco. Quite an interesting list there.
It is, and you know, I've been studying this for, I guess, since the early 1980s. And one of the things I noticed early on was it seems like the name Rockefeller comes up all over the place. And I finally got to the point in my research where I wondered how these people get any sleep. They're on the boards of so many organizations and doling out money to so many of the global efforts. Then I found out that some of the people cooperating closely with the Rockefeller Foundation and some of the banks that they have a lot of influence with sat on a number of different boards themselves, and so there's a lot of leveraging that goes on, even through the private sector. They had one department, if I remember right from my research, in fact, I talk about this in my book, En Route to Global Occupation, so people can read it for themselves, but you had situations where one person sat on the boards of maybe 20 different companies. And you multiply that through the different organizations that are controlled or leveraged by these foundations that are also supporting the cause of global government. And you realize that their hands reach very deep into the private sector as well. So it's not just the United Nations and its agencies, but there is a lot of support coming from major global corporations mm-hmm. in the private sector because it's all linked together. And that's the difficult thing to stop. It's one thing, you know, cutting off funding to the UN, but when you have a large percentage of the private sector now, of your larger corporations involved in the same agenda, it's kind of hard to slow it down.
Globalism lying at the door, our topic today with Gary Cogg. Gary, there's talk of national surveillance systems, tracking in real time where and how patients are being treated for this disease. Electronic Frontier Foundation has noted that Apple and Google already have announced they're going to roll out next month in May joint application interfaces that will allow proximity tracing. The apps in the devices will measure Bluetooth signal strength to determine whether two smartphones are close enough together for their users to transmit the virus, reports WND.com. You got to watch out for these, you know, social distancing issues.
Yeah, I'm afraid that we're going to lose a lot of our personal freedoms and privacy as a result of this whole crisis that we're facing right now. It's providing a platform, an excuse, if you will, for the globalists to implement this kind of technology that has actually been there for a while, and they've been waiting for just the right moment to do it, and so they cannot resist this time. It's almost made to order for them to be able to do this kind of thing. So unless people wake up very quickly and begin resisting this at different levels, we're going to lose an awful lot of our freedoms very quickly. And it does appear right now that President Trump is doing what he can to stand in the way of some of this, and I hope that continues to be the case. But I can only imagine he's got a lot of pressure on him, pushing at him from different directions, especially from some of the higher-ups in the health community themselves, because many of these people, including Dr. Fauci himself, are tightly connected with the World Health Organization and also the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And I'm not coming directly at him because he is a very smart doctor. He has saved a lot of lives. But what I'm saying is it's almost impossible to be in a leadership capacity in the field of health at the national and international level like Dr. Fauci is without coming into regular contact with these globalists who are strongly pushing for global government and the technology to bring it about. And so at some point they have to either compromise or speak out against it. And so it puts Dr. Fauci and people like him kind of in a precarious position. And I'm waiting to see which way he's going to go. Is he going to endorse these types of draconian measures? Or is he going to put a damper on it and push back some on it?
Okay.
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, and I've got a couple issues on Dr. Fauci. I just saw on Breaking Israel News this week an old picture that just surfaced, Gary, of Dr. Fauci along with somebody by the name of George Soros. Surprising?
No. Just because the globalists, one of their first areas of our lives that they wanted to gain control over has been our health, education and health, and of course the economy. And I've called them the three E's. The environment, it goes along with the health. They're big in that area, and the other two areas that I mentioned. And so you always find a lot of globalist funding in those areas. Anything having to do with the environment and health, because it gives them such a perfect platform. You know, it makes them sound like benevolent human beings. They're concerned about the health of the world and of human beings in the world. And so they're funding these philanthropic programs that help produce vaccines and prevent death and disease. And they're doing that on the one hand, but on the other hand, you look at what else they're funding, and it always involves globalization. And now the two are coming together, these vaccines and the push for digital ID. It's like a marriage that is taking place right now. And so we're not that far away from where every person is going to have to take a mark in order to be able to buy and sell or do anything else. And if you don't take it, they'll probably say you're causing problems for the rest of the planet, you know, and helping to spread disease, and they'll probably tie it in with some kind of a vaccine at some point.
Folks, you wouldn't be a good global citizen without it. Gary Kaa is with us today. Back in just 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, some lakes are shrinking in size. What's causing this?
Chris, the Earth's average temperature has been rising over these past few years. But is this a long-term trend? We know that over the decades, the average temperature has gone both up and down, so we wonder what's next. The current warming trend, however, has caused an increase in evaporation from some inland lakes. One lake is in the Middle East. The salty Aral Sea has shrunk dramatically, exposing a several-mile-wide salt beach. This has even affected the search for Noah's Ark. Salt has been picked up by the wind and blown all over the Middle East, including the glacier on Mount Ararat, causing it to melt quite a bit. Inland lakes are by and large leftovers from Noah's flood and the ice age which came after it. How much longer will they last? We'll have to wait and see. And that's the Back to Genesis truth.
Visit our website at www.icr.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk. Our guest today, Gary Kah, and we're talking today about globalism lying at the door. Really is a follow-up to our interview last week. We would encourage you, if you have not listened to the April 15th program, to go back, listen to it at crosstalkamerica.com or call about obtaining a CD copy. We make them available for donation of $6, each of the Crosstalk programs, by calling 800-729-9829. Gary, we're talking about Dr. Fauci, and there's discussions going on where Dr. Fauci has actually mentioned this national health ID, speaking of like a mandatory coronavirus immunity card that's under consideration. I saw an article in the New American reporting that they've got the support for this from, guess what, ID 2020, an organization supported by Accenture, the Rockefeller Foundation, Microsoft Corporation, and others.
Yeah, again, the same group of people. This week I learned, and this is disturbing, Dr. Fauci serves as a member of the Leadership Council for the Global Vaccine Action Plan developed by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, as well as the World Health Organization and a couple of other groups. And so, you know, it is alarming when you see the same names that keep coming up and when all these people across the board are globalists. And so you don't want to be conspiratorial, you don't want to be sensational, but, you know, what are we supposed to believe? When we've tracked some of these people for years, we know they're hardcore globalists supporting the push toward global government and a digital ID for every man, woman, and child on the planet and tying it together with a vaccine, and now we see all this coming together. So I hope and pray that one day we're going to watch a press conference here in the next couple of weeks, and Dr. Fauci comes out against some of these developments. Don't hold your breath.
No.
That probably won't happen.
I'm not expecting it.
But I wish it did, because we need some of these health professionals to step it up and say, look, yes, we do have a crisis type of situation, but it is getting better, and we've got medications coming out that are going to be treating this. It shouldn't make as strong of a comeback in the fall as what we've just seen. So there's no reason for everyone to panic. Just be careful and let's practice physical distancing a while longer. And, you know, just kind of putting everything in perspective, in proper perspective, rather than using this opportunity to push globalization.
Yeah.
It's just not right.
And that's what we're seeing, is this push of globalism lying at the door. And especially part of the importance of this is for tracking of individuals. And we were talking about some technology earlier, but I saw a Technology Review April 17th reported of a new social distance detector. They said, on the left side is people walking in the street. On the right side, there's a bird's eye diagram representing each one as a dot, turns them bright red. Red when they move too close to someone else. The company says a tool is meant to be used in factory settings. They're still working on how they can integrate this into existing security camera systems, exploring, how do we notify when people break this distancing. One the thing they're talking about is an alarm that would go off. So that technology is going on. But, Gary, there's another technology as well that's coupled with all the drones that are doing surveillance. And Fox News reported Monday this week, drones are being used around the country to enforce coronavirus lockdowns. Were donated by a company with ties to the Chinese government. The drones have gone to 43 law enforcement agencies in 22 states to help ensure social distancing. And Western Journal reported that these drones are equipped with speakers for law enforcement to give orders. And these drones are even equipped with a device known as a FLIR, forward-looking infrared, which can detect people's temperatures in a range between 99 and 105 degrees Fahrenheit. Gary, it's almost creepy. I mean, but this is secular news reporting these items.
Yeah, unbelievable. I mean, it really does seem like we're moving more and more into the brave new world, We've been warned about this for many years, but as the technology has increased, and it's not that I'm against technology, but it seems to be used more for bad than good. I personally believe God knew what he was doing when he created man and placed them in the Garden of Eden. He could have created man with laptops at their side, and he chose not to do that, and it was probably for a reason, because it seems like the more advanced technology gets, the more centralized things become, the more personal freedoms that we lose. And now look where it is. I mean, you can't get away from drones. They can follow you everywhere. Forget about any personal privacy anymore. And also the new technology, the latest, the 5G technology that's coming out. I did mention this last week, but I want to throw this in there. Italy and Spain were two of the first countries in the world to have widespread 5G coverage. And they're the same two countries where the coronavirus death toll has been the highest and where things have been the worst. And I want to be careful here. I'm not blaming the whole thing on 5G, but what I want to throw out there, because some health professionals are asking the same questions, 5G is so powerful, it's hard for our minds to even get around it, but the electromagnetic energy that results from 5G technology could be impacting a person's immune system, weakening it to some point, making them more vulnerable. So I'm not saying it's the cause of the coronavirus. What I am saying is that it could contribute to it. If people are already sensitive with their immune systems and they're exposed to high dosages of 5G, I believe it can weaken their immune system to the point where they are more vulnerable to this virus. But the fact that Italy and Spain, and also in China, the first major metropolitan area that had 5G was Wuhan, Wuhan, China. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So I think this is going to be another area that we need to look at and just consider, because this is going to be rolling out nationwide. It already is. You know, it's starting to come out through a number of the phone companies, and I see problems with it.
So what you're saying is there needs to be a whole lot of more investigative research into this aspect.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Gary, I'd like us to revisit as well this digital vaccine certificates, because we're seeing the push for a vaccine here for coronavirus, and we're seeing more and more states that have been, through legislative means, putting in erasing exemptions that they've had, exemptions, religious exemptions, even medical exemptions, wanting to make a universal mandatory vaccination program across the nation. So many fronts that is taking place now in individual states. But talk further, if you would, about these digital vaccine certificates.
Any time a vaccine is forced on everyone, I have a problem with it. I'm not against vaccines per se. A number of diseases have been pretty much wiped out as a result of vaccines. I do believe some other problems have been created along the way. But the idea of having a universal vaccine that is so closely tied to digital identity, and also there's the economic side of things, the whole commerce side. I wrote my article, which people can read online at our website, by the way, COVID-19, A Global Conditioning. Our website is garycaw.org. And on page 4 of that article, I said, in short, the ID 2020 certification mark is intended to further digitize global commerce and serve as a stepping stone toward a personal digital ID for every man, woman, and child. In the Alliance's own words, quote, a unique convergence of trends provides an unprecedented opportunity to make a coordinated, concerted push to provide digital ID to everyone. And then in the next paragraph, I tie all of this in with the vaccines and the push for a vaccine for the coronavirus. It's all linked together. That's the problem I have with it. If this was just another vaccine like others we've had that, you know, helped rid the world of smallpox, for example, that's one thing. But this time around, it's all different. It's the digital ID is piggybacking on the backs of this vaccination. Now, if enough people make enough noise, maybe this vaccine will simply be a vaccine and nothing more, and it'll stop there, because they might realize that if they go too far too fast, they're not going to be able to get past that point. Maybe that's wishful thinking on my part, but I hope that's what happens. But if people sit still on this and don't make some noise and say, look, this is an invasion of our personal privacy, everything they are trying to do, and tracking everyone like as if we're animals, they're going to do it, because they're determined to do it. And so it's just a matter of when it's going to get done. And if enough people take a stand right now and the word gets out, maybe, just maybe, God will have mercy and give us some more time. Because if all of this comes into place and we're looking within the next few years of everything being digitized and currency being gone, as we know it, paper currency, all this is part of the plan, then we're all going to be controlled human beings in very short order. And if people do not take the mark when that time comes, they're not going to be able to buy or sell. You know, it's going to be completely an underground economy. And we are approaching that point quicker than people may think.
The other thing about this vaccine, so-called this coronavirus, Gary, I mean, it's widely reported about the many, many mutations that are happening of that. And it can't be a one-size-fits-all vaccine because of all the mutations that are developing from this virus as well.
That's true, and that sets the stage for them to argue that there need to be a variety of vaccines. So like I said, in the first round, they choose not to use that as an opportunity to chip people, let's say, the next time around they might. You know, if this is going to be a regular thing where every couple of years we have to have a new vaccine, people will get used to it, and then eventually they'll use it to tag us with the digital ID. And I'm telling you, one thing I know for sure, these two areas, the digital ID that's being prepared for commerce purposes, buying and selling, is being merged together with the universal vaccination movement. And one way I know that is you take an organization like Gavi, the Global Alliance of Vaccines and Immunizations. You've got the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation closely allied with them and working together with that vaccination movement. I would say Bill Gates is actually at the forefront. I'd say he's more prominent within that movement than anyone else. And this is no secret. You already know this, Jim, and probably most of the listeners. He's working on 7 different vaccines right now that he's helping to fund. And again, I'd like to say this is a good thing. Thank God for Bill Gates, you know, if he's trying to help find a cure for the coronavirus. If that's all, I'd be all in favor of it.
But,
it'd be fine.
But
it's because of everything else that he also is involved in pushing that I have concerns.
Population control, for one. We see the large funding for groups like Planned Parenthood. That ought to be a concern as well. He's been all for population control.
Well, and his father was on the board of directors of Planned Parenthood. So the Gates family has a history in that area, and yeah, population control. You know, how do you decrease the population of the earth? There are only a few ways, really. Either through wars or disease, or I don't know, maybe hitting people with strong enough electromagnetic frequencies.
Forced contraception as well is something that he's been looking at for what he calls, you know, third world countries. Forced, you know, sterilization, so to speak, through some vaccinations.
Yep.
Well, Gary Kahn is with us today, and we're going to take a quick break. Let's open our phone line, so we'll give you opportunity to call and ask questions here today, or very brief comments. 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Here's a clip from A Distant Thunder, part of the Thief in the Night series.
Let me see your ID, please. Your right hand, please. That trick, young woman, is used in here 50 times a day. Now, if you want your child cared for, you must have your ID.
Please, you've got to help me. Oh, I can't take the mark.
The Thief in the Night 4-part prophecy DVD set, available through Crosstalk as our way of saying thank you for your donation of $25 or more. Only need one DVD of A Thief in the Night?
It's available for a donation of just $10. Call VCY America, 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829. Or online at vcyamerica.org.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Gary Ka is our guest today. He is a founder and director of Hope for the World. Gary's website, folks, you need to read the article, COVID-19, A Global Conditioning. It's available at GaryKa.org. Now, Ka is spelled K-A-H, GaryKa.org. A very remarkable article. We covered it quite a bit in our program a week ago, and Gary explained a lot of it. We weren't comprehensive. We covered a lot of topics, but the article is one that you really want to go to his website, GaryKa.org. And again, we mentioned that the interview we did last week is so foundational to the issues we're talking about today. We hope you caught that interview. If not, you can go online at crosstalkamerica.com, or you can request a CD for a donation of $6 of that program. This program also available by calling our switchboard at 800-729-9829. Gary, just before we pick up our first call, this has been, even since you were on with us a week ago, you've been constantly learning more and more information. And during the break, you shared some information with me I found rather stunning as it related to a job appeal that was being made. Tell us about it.
Yeah, over the last week, our phone, and I mean, it's just been crazy. People getting in touch with me and sending me information. One individual who I know quite well, a former military man, received information. He was notified about a job opening, so they were inviting him to consider a position. And these were numerous positions being offered up under the title of quarantine specialist. So they were asking him to consider being a quarantine specialist for 6 months, from November 15th to May 15th. Now, the thing is, this notice was put out before any of this coronavirus thing began. It was in, I think, late October, early November, right in there, in the fall. And these job openings were for a position that would last from November 15th to May 15th,
wow.
Quarantine specialist. So my friend was wondering, you know, what in the world was going on here? I mean, that seems like too much for coincidence. And it does. When you look at all these things put together, you know, you want to say it's all just a big coincidence, because we don't want to think that people are actually that evil and wicked that they've planned this virus. And I don't want to say that myself, but still, there's so many unanswered questions. How can it be that these jobs were posted before any of this began? You know, just a coincidence.
Yeah.
Listeners can decide.
Let's go to Spencer, Tennessee. Ed, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. I have two questions. This market you're talking about, would that be the mark of the beast? And also, I would like to know, when do you predict that when the dollar will be canceled? Will it be in a year, 2 years, 3 years, or when?
Okay. Thank you, Ed.
Go ahead. Let me answer that second question first, if I can. I would say when the economy crashes, they need things to get worse so that people will accept major drastic changes. Because as long as things are going pretty well, you know, a couple months ago we had 3.5% unemployment. Why would anyone accept a major economic system type of change and embrace some type of new global currency when everything is going well? And I believe part of the agenda behind this virus is globalists using it to try to crash the economy to be able to introduce the new global system with the new currency. So if we can get by on this round, we'll never make a full economic recovery, I don't believe, from this. But if we can get back on our feet and are doing quite a bit better by the fall, they will probably have missed this round. But if things spiral downward, and further things happen that help to crash the global economy, we can be looking for that currency at that time. So it is conditional on what happens in the global economy, in my opinion.
He was also asking about the mark of the beast, Gary.
Yeah.
this, we cannot say that this is the mark of the beast. But all of these things that are unfolding for us, I believe, is the stage is being set.
Yes, the stage is being set. I will just say this. There has never been a time in the history of the world where every person in the entire world had to take a mark on the back of the right hand or on the forehead in order to buy or sell.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever that happens, it should be pretty easy to recognize it, simply because it's never happened before and it will never happen again. This is a one-time thing according to Scripture, and it will be global. Everybody in the entire world. So it's going to be a global system, and we're rapidly moving toward that right now. So I think the Lord is allowing us to see these things as mile markers, if you will, signs of the times, to get our attention, and it should have the impact of driving us all closer to Him, and that's where the hope comes in. You know, we call ourselves hope for the world. A lot of this information is so negative and overwhelming, and it's not out of step, though, with what the Bible prophesied, what Jesus Himself prophesied, how things would be in the last days, and we are now witnessing this. So we need to prepare our hearts and our minds and spiritually draw closer to the Lord.
Our lines are packed out here. Let's go to Mark in Monroe, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yeah, my question is this. How much do you think Trump's presidency has thrown a kink into the World Health Organization by messing up Obamacare, which was Obama's highly touted legacy?
Okay. Thank you, Mark.
Well, it's pretty obvious that these people despise Trump. I think he is trying to do the best right now to walk a tightrope because he doesn't want to be blamed for the deaths of many people by recommending people go back to work too early. At the same time, if people don't get back to work soon, the U.S. economy is going to completely tank, and with it is going to go the global economy. And I think he's smart enough to know that globalists have an agenda, and they're trying to do that very thing. So I would suggest that we pray fervently for President Trump and his closest advisors, because they are in very difficult straits right now. They really need godly wisdom to make the right decisions on all of this. It's not a pretty picture right now, what is happening, but there's no doubt in my mind that what he has done is, he's not just opposing the World Health Organization, but he's actually undoing some of the pieces that they have put in place, and because of that, they hate him.
Joanne's calling from Tucson, Arizona. You're on the air, Joanne.
Hi, I just have a comment for Mr. Kaw. I want to thank him for using the term, physical distancing instead of social distancing, which I think is a very loaded term mm-hmm. in these days.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
Thanks, Joanne. Veronica in Pensacola, Florida, you're on the air. Hello, Veronica. Okay, let's go to Trigvi in Lebanon, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Trigvi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My question is, I'm wondering why Mr. Trump or really anybody else isn't really pushing the fact that Bill Gates funded with the Johns Hopkins Center and the World Economic Forum a total coronavirus test exercise in October 2019.
You have any info on that, Gary?
Right now, Bill Gates is one of the most popular people in the world. He's very powerful. He's interviewed regularly, even on stations like Fox or Fox Business, you know, they travel to the World Economic Forum and interview some of these globalists, and not all of them per se are evil people, you know, that are out there worshiping Satan or anything like that, but mm-hmm. most of them are dedicated globalists, and right at the top of the heap are people like George Soros and Bill Gates, and he also throws his money around a lot, and so I don't know what direct influence that he has in any of the major networks, but we see him allied closely on numerous projects with the Rockefeller Foundation. And I researched that organization thoroughly way back in the 1980s. And Congress actually did investigations into that and closely allied foundations. And the people behind those foundations, it was discovered, had a very strong interest through stockholdership in the three major networks at that time, ABC, CBS, and NBC. And it got to the point where Congress kept looking deeper and deeper into it until some people started getting death threats, which was not uncommon because a lot of this goes back way further. Even back in the 1920s, you had U.S. congressmen beginning to investigate the growing monopoly that was taking place in the press. And then once television was invented, it wasn't long before these powers controlled a lot of that. And the reason why that's so important to them is because it allows them to control the narrative. So wherever you have the Rockefeller Foundation, Carnegie Foundation, some of these powerful international foundations, you've got a lot of big bank money connected tightly with them, and they are steering a lot of the larger corporations within the private sector. That leads you into meetings like the World Economic Forum, where a lot of globalist decisions are made that go against our push for national sovereignty. And then you've got people now like Bill Gates who are very prominent in those circles. And so if you attack Bill Gates, look out.
Yeah.
You know, simply put. And so you're not going to see much negative coming from anyone in the media on that. And it doesn't have to be negative. If people just put the truth out there. You know, I don't hate Bill Gates. You know, he's developed a lot of great programs. We use one of them ourselves. And so I'm not against that, but I am against agendas, global agendas, and manipulation to try to accomplish a one world government type of system that is going to be very dangerous.
Go ahead. Yeah, we're going to have to move on here. Thank you, Trigby. Tim is calling from Newcomerstown, Ohio. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. I am calling about the global control. Here, even in Ohio, I've been a victim of chip implants and the abuse of this country's legalism and government control. And there's nothing that I've been able to do about it. I cannot get these chips removed. And I'm kind of in spiritual warfare.
Thank you, Tim, for that. And I don't know, we don't have details about your situation and what you've gone through medically or anything like that. So, Gary, to the bigger issue of global control and chip implants and certainly, you talked previous with us about this quantum dot tattoo. Certainly there's concern there.
Yeah, definitely. And a lot of times people in the military are used as guinea pigs for this, and that's true internationally in all countries. And so during the first Persian Gulf War, some of the soldiers were actually involuntarily chipped at that time so that they could be tracked around as part of an experimental project. And so this has been going on to some degree for, you know, well over 20 years now, going on 30 years. Sweden and in a few other countries, but especially Sweden, you've got a few thousand people that have been chipped and that are being tracked and experimented with now to see how this will all work, going to a digital currency system where we don't have paper currency anymore, but everything is in the form of an electronic monetary unit. So it's close. You know, it's coming. So it's just a matter of time, I believe, till it's here.
Thank you for your call here. We're just seconds from the break, so we're going to take the break here and come back with more of your questions here in just a moment. Gary Kaa is with us. By the way, it's on his website, the report. It's entitled COVID-19, A Global Conditioning. GaryKaa.org is a website. That's Gary Kaa, K-A-H. .org. Back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brennan House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. The other night in my research, I stumbled on a 2014 article in the Washington Post, as well as at National Post. Headline, Bill Gates funds birth control microchip that lasts 16 years inside the body and can be turned on or off with remote control. Guess who's helping him develop it? None other than MIT. The same group. An MIT group, MIT companies helping him do this. That's MIT, who's also, according to numerous reports, helping him develop a special kind of dye that can be put onto the skin to see if you've gotten your vaccine. But what's very troubling about the microchip birth control, it is controlled wirelessly. The question is, who will turn it on? Who will turn it off? What will qualify one to be able to procreate? My friends, this is nothing more than eugenics updated with today's technology.
Globalism lying at the door. Our topic today with Gary Ka from Hope for the World. And we're going right back to the phone lines here on Crosstalk. And thank you for your patience. Bridgeport, West Virginia is next. Al, you're on Crosstalk.
Hey, Brother Jim. Thanks for taking my call today. It's a really a concerning issue, and you guys have done a great job covering it. But Brother Gary, I had a question. You know, myself being a Bible believer, I think this is headed on to Bible prophecy, and that's what we're at. You know, just got to me. I'm looking up. I'm looking up, yeah. Waiting for Jesus to come.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Gary, what do you think about that?
Well, I personally believe, and part of this is because of what my parents went through. They both went through World War II, and my father fled from the Nazis and the communists, and I grew up hearing about what they went through. And so I think sometimes, too often, Christians believe that persecution isn't going to come until we're out of here. And that has only worked in America so far and a few other places around the world because Christians are being persecuted everywhere. So yeah. What God has put on my heart is prepare the body to go through difficult times if they must, that they will stand firm for me. And so I need to stick with that. And so all I will say is it's better for us to be prepared to stare death in the face and to be willing to put everything on the line for the Lord. And then if he takes us out of here before any of that happens, praise God. But if we're here to go through some difficult times, which is already starting to happen, we need to be ready for that.
You know, and on that issue, I'd like to just encourage you, Al, and others to be listening, Lord willing, this coming Monday on Crosstalk, where our topic is COVID-19 and the persecuted church. And, we've escaped so much here in the United States compared to what's going on in other nations, but we'll have a representative on from Open Doors USA that's going to describe what is taking place in numerous countries, even using COVID-19 as the means for that. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Gary in Ironwood, Michigan. You're on the air.
Hi, Gary. And Jim, I read your book on global occupation, and I was totally amazed with the information in there, and I'd recommend it to anybody who wants inside information.
Is the book still in print, Gary?
It is. We're running low of copies, but we still have some.
Okay.
Yes.
But it was kind of like an enhancement of a book I bought in the 80s, New World Order. But the people who signed on to the World Constitution were just amazing.
Yeah. Well, I think what Gary's talking about, by the way, good name. What he's talking about is there are organizations out there that have been pushing a one world constitution. And it's been modified over the years, but you've got groups like the World Federalist Association, the World Constitution Parliament Association, different groups that have been pushing this forward. And the goal has been that when the time comes, they want to make this look like a we the people democratic grassroots movement that is calling for world government. So they're working from the bottom up and the top down at the same time. But most people aren't even aware that a tentative, a prototype, if you will, a world constitution for world government has already been drafted. So that's how far along things are. It's just important that people be aware that this agenda is very real.
Thank you, Gary. Let's go to Pastor Mark in Missouri. You're on the air.
Yes, Gary's comments make me question Bill Gates' motivation because of what I understood Gary saying. Bill Gates desires population control, but then he wants a vaccine to save people. So it does seem odd.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see where I'm coming from here? Wants population control. And yet he wants to save people by developing a vaccine, by developing a vaccine. Is that me, or does anybody else think that's absolutely bizarre?
Gary?
Yeah, well, it's a clear conflict of interest as far as I'm concerned. And it's not just Bill Gates, but a lot of other people working with him. This is going through the UN. I mean, it goes right to the top of the UN and all their different agencies. And so they're all over the place, talking about population control, making birth control available in all countries and encouraging abortion, and even sometimes funding has been tied to certain nations. Whether or not they receive funding is determined by whether or not they support family planning. That's the friendly term they use, And so they're pushing a population control on the one hand and then vaccines supposedly to save lives on the other. And it does seem a bit like an oxymoron when you think about it. And that is what causes me and other people to question all of this.
Yeah, I was just looking at a story here, too, from LifeNews.com. They mentioned the Kansas City Star reporting the Family Planning 2020 Summit received support from the Gates Foundation and talking about this whole aspect of population control, pushing population control on 120 million more women by 2020. This was an article that came out in 2017. They've been in this issue of population control a long time.
You know, what's amazing to me is some of the same people that march in favor of abortion rights will march a week or two later at another rally in favor of animal rights.
Yeah.
And so we're in a country where you could literally go to jail or be fined thousands of dollars if you destroy the eggs of certain unborn animals, but yet your so-called right to take a human life is protected under the law. And it's just unconscionable. And I believe that's one reason why we're just a hair away from experiencing God's judgment in a major way. God has been very patient and merciful with the people of this country and in the world as a whole. But if he takes his protective covering off of America because of our refusal to repent, all of this agenda would play out very quickly. It would happen almost overnight. And so that's why we really emphasize repentance and people drawing closer to Christ, because if anything will give us more time, that's it. If we humble ourselves before the Lord and he intervenes and takes mercy on us, maybe we'll have some more time.
Well, thank you, Pastor Mark. Christy, Rogue River, you got about 20 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay, well, as far as Bill Gates goes, he had a commercial up, and he's partnering with Marina Yovanovitch, who is a spirit-cooking Satanist, cannibal stuff, and he took that commercial offline as soon as he started getting some backlash because of her extreme involvement in Satanism.
Wow, very interesting. I wish we had more time. We've had many more people lined up to talk and wish to talk, but we are out of time. Gary, thanks for coming back here a second week and covering so many additional issues with us.
You're so welcome. Thank you, Jim. God bless you.
And folks, again, that's GaryKah.org. Download the article there. Kah is spelled K-A-H, GaryKah.org. And if you want to be informed on these issues, re-listen to the program from April 15th on our website, crosstalkamerica.com, or contact our switchboard at 800-729-9829. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.